This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome back to another episode of the Golden Bearcast. Today's episode is brought to you by DoorDash and BetOnline, but we'll get to that later. Today we're here to talk about football, because football is back. I'm one of your hosts on the Bearcast, Rob Huang, alongside me, of course, is a best friend and my co-host, Andy Johnson. How are you doing, Andy?
Solid.
Can't complain, right?
Don't get no better than solid, baby.
All right. I mean, I don't think we need any more small talk, because we got to talk football, right? We got to talk some football. So let's get right into it. The Pac-12 announced on October 3rd, which is last Friday, Saturday, I believe, on College Game Day at 7:30 a.m. Pacific time, which I think is not ideal for most of your West Coast fans to get up to find out the schedule. But regardless, announced the schedule. The week before is when the Pac-12 announced that it would be back after the Pac-12 CEO group decided that it was okay with football coming back because of, you know, the new rapid testing and all that they had figured out. So with that, they announced the schedule. All games will be on nationally televised services. So every football, it says here, I quote, every football game through the first 6 weeks of the season will be televised nationally by a combination of ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, Fox, and FS1. Fox will televise the football championship game on Friday, December 18th. Exact broadcast schedules will be determined at a later date.
Guess what? Late night Saturdays are back. Dude, that's crazy. You know we're going to be staying up late. You know it's inevitable.
I want your takes on football coming back as a whole before we dive into the actual schedule.
Not like, even going to comment on Pac-12 Network not having a single game?
Well, they furloughed and then they cut most of their staff, apparently. Like, Mike Yam is no longer with the network, right? So it's kind of baffling that they're not using their own network that they have, like, but they're going to air it on national stuff. So, I guess it's better for exposure, but still.
Does the Pac-12 network ever come back?
I don't know. What do you think about it? Do you think they'll come back?
I don't know. Hard to make a case either way, I would say. You know, seriously, I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
Was it potentially an overstep for them to, you know, feel like they had to create their own network? And there's so many things. I mean, just on the radio today, they're like, are movies going to come back in the same way?
Like theaters, right?
Yeah. Theater experience.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a very good question. I mean, particularly because, I mean, people had so many issues with the Pac-12, right? Like, the app didn't work properly. It was only on very, very select services. You couldn't get it on, I believe, DirecTV. You had in other spots, like, you couldn't even get it on. So here's the thing for me. It's like you keep flaunting that you're in San Francisco and you're in the Silicon Valley, yet you aren't on any of the big cord-cutting services, right? Like, you had to go on Sling, but you had to, like, get, like, I think the highest one to get that channel. Like, you weren't even on YouTube TV. Like, it was just so difficult to even get. And I know the West Coast or the East Coast guys had an even harder problem trying to get Pac-12 Network.
The real question for me is basketball, because that's where they covered a lot of games that wouldn't be covered nationally. Yeah. So that's the one, is like, what happens then?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, they haven't said anything about basketball yet. They did say basketball, NCAA said basketball would be returning, I think, the end of November, That's the earliest you can start. So we'll see what happens with the basketball schedule and what they actually do. There's been a lot of rumors circulating and about, you know, maybe they'll do like a, you know, an out-of-conference regional like bubble where it's like, you know, eight teams on the West Coast meet at this one city and they just play like a round-robin tournament. Like those are your out-of-conference games. But who knows? Who knows what they're going to decide to do?
Wild times. Let's talk some football.
Let's do it. All right. So I'm thinking before we get into the Cal stuff, I'm just going to run you through the schedule as a whole. And let's go week by week and just pick out like one game that excites us that week. So to start off, the basic format of the schedule this year is you play all of your divisional opponents. Then you play one cross-divisional opponent. And then championship week, which is December 18th and 19th, the championship game will be played by the winner of the Pac-12 North and the winner of the Pac-12 South. But all other 10 teams will also be playing, and I believe that game is going to be seeded, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong with that.
Rob, can you confirm you're saying that during the championship game, every other team will also have a game?
No, most likely what they'll do is they'll have the championship game on the following, like the following day. Like it says December 18th and 19th, right? So like they'll probably have the championship game on the 19th, and then on the 18th, all the other five games will probably be played.
So everyone's guaranteed seven games.
Everyone's guaranteed seven games, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one game is the championship game, and the other five are just like a fun seventh game. Weird. Super weird. But anyways, what do you think about that scheduling? Like the five in divisional opponents, and then your one randomized cross-divisional opponent.
Well, we got screwed. And I know you weren't asking about the Cal perspective, but what do you get, you know? So I think we definitely drew the, you know, the unlucky side of the stick outside of, you know, getting somebody like Utah. You know, it would have been worse, but it's not great playing Arizona State. I think that the schedule itself is just like so short that anything can happen. I mean, I know we're going to get into predictions. I know we're going to get into all this stuff, but like I was asked a couple of times by a friend of mine, like, all right, how do you think Cal's going to do? And I was just like, dude, I have no idea. Because, you know, you look at a team like Cal who has started well in most seasons in recent memory, you know, especially with out of conference, but then as they kind of get into conference play, it's really inconsistent. I mean, we've talked about last year where, you know, we'd lost a lot of games and then came back and rallied. If you lose those first three games, your best bet is, you know, 4-3. So mediocre year. And I think it's really hard. So I just think it's a small schedule and understanding like the full, you know, a full schedule could not be played for obvious reasons, which is the fact that I didn't even think we're going to have football this year. So I think in what we're getting is already lucky. Cal could be as likely to be 6-0 as 0-6 or 3-3, or I mean, I guess it should make it into sevens, not sixes. But from a conference play standpoint and not the added extra game, you know, it's just really hard to predict. So six games, cool, glad. I think it's just like one of those things, like it sucks for many reasons because Cal was supposed to be so good this year. And so instead of having high expectations, my expectations are actually a lot more muted where I'm just sort of like, well, you know, I guess I'm just happy that there's football and like that we can watch Cal play because the Giants were a lot more entertaining than they were supposed to be. And that was really fun. And I didn't expect that. And the basketball has been amazing. Like, hands down, I think it's been the best of any sport going right now. I don't watch Premier League, so Rob, feel free to shut that one in my face if that's, you know, not true. And then I think, you know, the NFL has been a disaster. How could you not? It's just, yeah. And then we got to get into that too, which is what happens when you have the inevitable take place, which is teams get exposed to COVID, You have the Notre Dame situation. You know, what happens? How do you work around it in this abbreviated sort of micro schedule that we're getting? And the other thing too is, like, I'd like to ask you is, like, would it been that bad to postpone to what I would call winter spring? So maybe you're starting in January and playing out the schedule then under terms that could be maybe a little bit more certain in regards to player safety. I'm curious to get your thoughts, or if where you land on that.
I actually wanted a spring schedule. I thought that would have been fun. Even for us, you know, imagine getting two football seasons in a single season or in a single calendar year. Like, how much fun would that be without the long, like, draw of an off season.
Yeah.
At the same time, I totally understand that human bodies weren't made to take that much punishment, and there's a reason that season breaks are as long as they are. So with all that taken into account, and if this was like a utopian world, I would have loved to have seen football come back in January. But I think the moment the Big Ten decided to come back was the nail in the coffin that the Pac-12 needed to come back. You can't be the only Power 5 conference that's out, and the financial, like, loss and the hit you're going to take by not participating is significant. And not only is it significant to the conference, but it's significant towards each school, right? Each school gets a payout from the NCAA for playing in an NCAA sport, particularly football. So even just that added revenue, particularly now, is probably even more beneficial for every university. So that's probably why most schools said that they wanted to go and wanted to play. You know, I mean, we talked about the Utah stuff, right? Like, the entire athletic department got furloughed from top to bottom. Like, that's insane, considering the amount of money that we always talk about that's in college sports. So with all that taken into account, They made the financial move. They made the right PR move. I don't think it was the right move, like, overall. But, like, I can't, as a business decision, I can't see why. I can see why they did it, is what I would say. What would be your thoughts to what I just said?
I think that's spot on. You know, I think I imagine that something to do with television revenue, you know, it's all money at the end of the day, which is to the NCAA's folly, really.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think Stanford was the one that was rumored to be out because specifically they felt they would then no longer be able to prove this amateur status of their student athletes because you're having preferential treatment to football players coming back versus golfers or you know, other sports. And I think that that's super valid. So I don't see how you can possibly make this about anything else. And as we've talked about, I think your chance of failure here is high, because failure starts with one person who catches COVID, who deals with lifelong issues because of that, potentially, or you know, potentially passes to somebody else, and that ends up, if just anybody gets any type of hurt out of that, what was it all for? So it's that, I think that's put a muted kind of enjoyment. I mean, I'm very excited that football is coming back. I'm very excited that we get to watch Cal versus Oregon. I'm very excited that we get to watch Cam Bynum play more. You know, there's tons of things to be really excited about. So, I think that they made the predictable move. But I think if you ask me, like, what strong leadership would have looked like, I would say more of what you talked about, which is being like, look, we know that these other leagues are back. Good for them. There's fans in the stadium. Like, we're obviously in a different situation over here on the West Coast. There's fires that are ravaging this area anyways. So the odds of us being able to play in a smoke-free environment right now are, you know, slim to none. So we're going to push till, you know, January 21st, and we're going to start our 7-game season then. And, you know, we're the Pac-12 pioneer, you know, conference, and you know, our championship, our conference championship game will, you know, be very valuable to us, but not nationally, and that's fine. So I don't know, but I don't really know. Like, I can't, as a fan, I'm not saying that that's like the most fun option. You know, it's not. It's not at all. The most fun option here is if Cal like goes 5-1 or 6-0 and heads to the championship game with a real shot at the national, you know, the playoff. Like, that's the fun side of it. So from a fun standpoint, I take what I just said, throw it out the door, and give it a nice punt out of there, you know? But from a personal standpoint and priority and like value standpoint, I think that's where the other perspective kind of comes from.
Yeah, I think you make valid points. I think the one thing I would add on to that is I think the narrative of how everything played out kind of went in the conference's favor, right? Big Ten decides they're going to play. Pac-12 kind of says, you know what, we're still going to think about it. Then all the players come out with the we want to play movement. Right, you saw all that, like the hashtag we want to play or let us play. And so the Pac-12 kind of just, like, they didn't need to force kids to play. Like, they, everyone was willing to play. So you kind of play that role of like, oh, we're giving in to because our players want to do it and we think we can do it safely. I totally think that this entire environment and atmosphere is different if all the players were united, at least in the conference, saying, like, we still are hesitant because of the health risks. Like, we still are not a full believer in that. Then the conference has a bigger issue on their hands. Like, even if they want to play, that means they're forcefully going to ask players to play, right? Like, either that or, like, forego whatever it may be. And that just looks bad on the conference. Like, I think narrative-wise, it just worked out for everyone involved, where the players, you know, look like they wanted to play, and they got that answer. The conference makes it look like they didn't have to, you know, be the evil, you know, conglomerate that's just there to make money off of it.
Yeah, totally fair. I think that it came their direction a lot. And, you know, we'll be better off it's going to be entertaining having college football to watch and Cal football, like college football that I care about.
Yeah.
I watched Mike Leach lose. That was awesome. Double whammy on that one. Got to watch KJ Costello not be good. So that was also fun. And then, no, you know, love lost there.
Yeah. There's so many games, though, that have just been, like, insane, right? Like, we're veering off topic here, but, like, the Texas Tech game a couple weeks ago, like, they were up, yeah, like, 13 or 18 with, like, 6 minutes left, 4 minutes left. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch. It's fun to have on. It's just like everything else except for the NFL, because the NFL is so boring. Yeah. So anything more boring than the two games on Monday night tonight? No.
Yeah.
None. Just so boring. But everything else seems to be really entertaining. So that's good. The Niners game was entertaining, kind of. But yeah, I think that I think college football has been fun. It sure is weird, though. It sure is weird seeing fans in the stadium. That, yeah. I mean, dude, when I saw that Georgia, oh my goodness. Dude, that stadium was like, I swear it was closer to half full than it was to a third full. Like, it was packed.
I think the funniest part about that Georgia thing is that didn't they take away, like, all voting locations or except for one on campus because they said they were worried about COVID? And yet there's, like, that many people in the stands.
Yeah, you get masks. It, Rob. You get it. That's all I'll say on that. You get it. Not everybody gets it.
All right. Whatever. We can get into that in another podcast, but let's run down through the schedule and push this podcast along. Week one, Andy, all games will be played on Saturday, November 7th. We got Arizona at Utah, Arizona State at USC, Stanford at number 14, Oregon, UCLA at Colorado, Washington at Cal, and Washington State at Oregon State. Which game intrigues you the most?
UCLA, Colorado.
Really? If it intrigues you to watch two teams burn,
I think you got it exactly.
Dude, I think we have the marquee matchup that week. I really do. I don't know about the Oregon Stanford. Dude, is Stanford even good? Like, can we talk about this? Like, I don't know. I don't cannot think so. Definitively tell you that Stanford will be good this year. And they lost their best corner. Like, Adebo's gone. He's going to the NFL. He's not coming back.
Yeah. And they still, I mean, granted, they still have a five-star quarterback that's playing, but that's besides the point because all of their quarterbacks just hand the ball off to their five-star running back anyways.
So, yeah. I mean, is that our main competition? I think so. Yep. Arizona is supposed to be garbage. So
I think the Arizona State-USC game is intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think, honestly, that's the battle for the South.
For sure. No, that's a good one. That is a good one. I think that the Cal-Washington narrative now is interesting. No, sans Chris Peterson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that you're sort of trying to understand what Washington is going to be, which I imagine is probably a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah.
And then big questions for us. Breaking a new offensive coordinator, coming back with tons of talent on the offensive side of the football, breaking in a very kind of new defense, if you will, at least from a linebacker D-line perspective. So there's a lot there. I would say that that's probably up there against the other matchup that you mentioned as the matchup to watch. Like, that's for sure the game I would want to watch, obviously. But if I'm trying to, like, keep the bias out of here and say, if I was looking at that as the same way as I look at the SEC or the same way I would look at the Big Ten, like, what would I want to watch? That would be the one where I'd be like, ah, there's intrigue there. What about you?
No, I think you're pretty much, or I think we're pretty much have a hive mind. I think the Washington Cal game. So let me take a step back. The Arizona State USC game and the Washington Cal game, they're intriguing for different reasons. The reason Arizona State at USC is intriguing is because they have arguably some of the most electric talent in the conference, and they probably have the most, like, good continuity and established stuff, like, in terms of the team. So that's why I would want to keep an eye on them to see, like, can they hit the ground running, right, after last season. Washington at Cal, the intriguing part about it is, as you said, both teams are breaking in a lot of new coordinators and a lot of new skill position players. Particularly, Washington also has a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback. This game could potentially be a Garber's brother sibling game, where you have Chase Garbers, who's the quarterback for Cal, our leader in QB1, and his younger brother Ethan, who's at Washington and is vying for the starting quarterback job. So, I mean, and Chase talked about it on our podcast when he was on, and he's like, yeah, I hope he wins it. It'd be super fun to play against him, but he's gonna try his best to win that job. So, like, that's the intriguing part for me. There's a bunch of, like, narrative and plot lines there, but yeah, I think those are probably the two marquee games.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. I mean, I really think Ethan's tape there too is really solid. Mm-hmm. He was super good.
Yeah,
I was really bummed that he picked Washington. So no, I agree.
All right. We'll move to week two. We got a Friday night game. Friday November 13th, Utah at UCLA. Then on Saturday, November 14th, Cal at Arizona State, Colorado at Stanford, number 14, Oregon at Washington State, Oregon State at Washington, and USC at Arizona. Your pick.
Dude, that's tough. You go first this time.
I'm going to have to go Oregon at Washington State.
Why?
That'll be their first road game, right, with such a young team. They're replacing their quarterback. They're replacing their left tackle. They're replacing Javon Holland on the back end of their defense. Like, they have a bunch of guys that they're trying to replace in Oregon. And then they're playing at Washington State, which, with Nick Rolovich, like, I think they're going to want to hit the ground running and try and get, like, a marquee win off. and it's at the Palouse. Like, it's, you know, it's November in Washington. Like, I think
no fans though.
No fans. Yeah, no fans. But I think also weather could play a part into this game. But we'll see. I think I just think that matchup is really, for me, it's intriguing.
Hmm. Yeah. No, there's definitely intrigue there, but I've kind of written off Washington State already as just not going to be very competitive.
Yeah.
And a lot of my Oregon friends, Oregon fans that are friends of mine, think that Oregon's going to be really good. So, let's see. The other one was I picked up on Stanford, Colorado. Who was Utah matched up with again? Arizona?
Utah at UCLA on Friday the 13th.
Oh, sorry. It was Utah, UCLA. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Right. Is this Chip's last hurrah here?
It might be.
Does he get another season if things go bad?
If they go 1-5 or like 1-6, 2-4?
I don't think so.
2-5?
Yeah. I mean, his legacy, you talk about like the up and downs. You know?
Yeah, it's not great.
It's just crashing since the NFL debut.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't think there's that many marquee games for week two. I think we can move on to week three. Friday, November 20th, UCLA at number 14, Oregon. Saturday, November 21st, Arizona at Washington, Arizona State at Colorado, Cal at Oregon State, USC at Utah, Washington State at Stanford.
I think this one's obvious. Dude, our conference is not good right now. I'm like, you're listing out these things off, and I'm like, nah, no.
No,
nah, no. USC, Utah.
Yeah,
obviously. I think without a doubt. I'm once again like super biased here. I think Oregon State is interesting to me, and I think that matchup against Cal is gonna be a good one to watch. If we end up having a top-notch offense and maybe a rebuilding defense, then that becomes a potential like shootout type of game. I don't know if our offense will be that good, but that would be kind of cool to think about. So it's gotta be Utah USC though. Because that's where my mind goes for the South contention, I would say.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think my pick would be UCLA at Oregon, just because, once again, the plot lines of Chip going back to Autzen, like him playing there, probably no fans at that point, of course. But, yeah, just him being in Oregon at Autzen and, like, you know, what if he loses there? Like, he might, if he loses week one, week two, week three, he might be fired by the end of week three. Like, it's totally viable.
I mean, in COVID times,
yeah, that time that might
particularly
be
on the job right now.
Yeah. All right, let's move to week four. We got three games on Friday night. We got number 14 Oregon at Oregon State. We got the big game. We got Washington at Washington State. So, like, three rivalry games.
Jeez, dude.
The North is playing
Civil
all their
War,
rivalry games.
Apple Cup and the big game.
Yeah, Civil War, big game, Apple Cup, all on Friday, November
27th. Yikes. Remind me where I am.
That's Thanksgiving
shelter
weekend.
In place.
Yeah. That's Thanksgiving weekend for on Black Friday.
Crazy.
Great. Love it. And then Saturday, November 28th, Arizona at UCLA, Colorado at USC, and Utah at Arizona State. Which game intrigues you, buddy?
Outside of the obvious pick.
Yeah.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War. Yeah. It always does. I always have interest in that game. And
they're probably
the outcome
most established.
But it's like, it's always so one-sided.
Yeah.
I always wonder if somehow Oregon State's going to pull it off, because you know Phil Knight hates that.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere if Oregon loses, he's tossing a Nike out like a 100th story window and potentially hurting somebody.
Except so, Oregon State is also Nike too, so which is weird.
That, no matter. Pay no mind to that. When you read Shoe Dog and you know that Phil Knight does not like Oregon State. No yeah. way. Doesn't matter. So I don't know. I think that one's of interest to me. What about you?
I'd be interested to see the Colorado at USC game. Colorado and USC always play some interesting games, in my opinion.
And I do feel like with a new coach, it'll be – that could be a tone setter for that matchup under the new regime at Colorado. So I don't think they'll necessarily win, but if they can somehow keep it close and just put the pressure on SC, I think that totally changes the dynamic of that matchup for the next few years. But that's me. We'll move on to week five. Friday, December 4th, Washington State at USC. Then Saturday, December 5th, Colorado at Arizona, UCLA at Arizona State, Stanford at Washington, number 14, Oregon at Cal, and Oregon State at Utah.
Oregon, Cal, and then Stanford, Washington, was it?
Yeah, that game's always interesting.
Always, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, that'll be – that's my pick.
You know what's interesting to me is the Washington State at USC game.
Why?
Do you know why it's interesting to me? Think of the offenses that both teams run, that ran the last, let's say, 5 to 6 years, and then the offenses that they'll be running at this game. They basically switched offenses.
True.
So I think that's – it's just going to be fun just to watch and how, like – mind-boggling it is that Washington State's not running an air raid, but USC is.
It's just so weird. In some ways, it makes me kind of miss Mike Leach because I like having another competitive team in the conference. But in other ways, Mike Leach is a total fool, and in most ways, so I don't really miss him all that much. But I agree, it'll be really interesting to watch. USC is going to just be a fun team to watch, I think.
Yeah, they just have so much talent.
Yeah. Plethora of talent.
Yeah. All right. Week six, Friday, December 11th, Arizona State at Arizona, the Territorial Cup, Utah at Colorado, and then Saturday, December 12th, Cal at Washington State, Oregon State at Stanford, USC at UCLA, and Washington at Oregon.
I mean, two rivalries there that you have to choose from, neither that involve Cal. So Washington, Oregon, those teams hate each other and those fan bases hate each other. Also, Rob, did you say December 11th? Because what the hell?
December 11th.
So late in the year, and you're talking about the North, so
it's going to be so cold.
Northwest. That's going to be a cool football game.
It's going to be so cold.
And then you got UCLA, USC.
Yeah.
Battle of SoCal. Always good, entertaining to watch. Is Chip Kelly, you know, saving his job? Is he not? Who knows?
Yeah.
Is Clay Helton in a similar position? Has he messed things up beyond no return? You know, there's a lot of storylines down in LA that could be interesting.
Very, very much so. I think you're right. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. Washington at Oregon is probably the biggest one there just because of how much, like, hatred those two teams have for each other. So I think you're right. And then week seven, Friday, December 18th, is the Pac-12 football championship game. And then Saturday, December 19th, the rest of the matchups happen, which I'll say TBD at TBD. But they
location
will be either.
Is still Levi's?
I believe it's at Allegiant.
Oh, okay.
Which we were supposed to be at earlier this year.
Allegiant is the Raiders?
Yeah. We were supposed to be there for the kickoff of Cal football season against UNLV.
Yeah.
That's where we should have been.
Could have. Should have, could have, would have.
Should have, could have, would have.
Technically, you could have gone, but you might have gotten COVID.
Before they canceled it, but.
Crazy. Crazy. And so all the other games, I'm assuming, how are those going to be played? Home field?
I think it's home field by seeding.
Sweet. I mean, that'll be wild.
Yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I totally might be totally wrong on this, so don't quote me, but I think what they're going to do is probably seed all the other 10 teams and then just be like, all right, three plays 12, four plays 11. Like, does that make sense? Just play it like that.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All the way down. So, yep. That's it. I think that's a good place to pause to get a word from our sponsors for the episode.
You've counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, or the Cheesecake Factory. Or you could also choose to order from an actual local business. So instead of ordering at those national chains that are fine right now, find a local business and support them. Many of you like your local restaurants, and they're still open for delivery. So just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food will be on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code BLUEWIRE. That's all capital letters, $5 off, zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, BLUEWIRE is the code that you need to get your $5 off on your first order with DoorDash.
Well, thank you, Andy, for that beautiful, beautiful ad reading.
Hashtag cancel the Cheesecake Factory.
That's our dear friend Twists and Hooks' favorite restaurant. He thinks it's the best Mexican restaurant in Walnut Creek, so.
Dude, that may be valid, but didn't that place from Santa Barbara moved up to, they're in Walnut Creek now.
Santa Barbara?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyway, sorry for bringing it up. Freebirds. Freebirds is out there in Walnut Creek now, I think. Maybe it's in Concord.
I know they used to have one up. The closest one I remember is that it was up near, like, Vacaville. That was the closest one. But if they have one up here near Walnut Creek.
Yeah, those nachos.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. That
late
place
night,
is,
2 a.m.
That place is way better than Chipotle.
Way definitely better. Yeah. Here's a bunch of places that are better than Chipotle. Pinto Thai food. Mama Cho's out here in Castro Valley. How about Gordo's? Off College, or you can go in off of Albany, in Albany off of Solano. Yep. You can go in the city. Bunch of good spots. Nito. What about you, Rob? What would you plug?
One place that I have been eating a lot of recently because I've been in the area is the Hidden Spot out in South San Francisco. Get the Wagyu burger with kimchi and fried egg in it, or the spicy chicken sandwich.
It's called the Hidden Spot.
Yeah, it's inside of a bar. They're running out of a kitchen of a bar right now. It's only pickup, but holy snaps, dude. Like, arguably the best burgers I've had in forever. And they have these like sweet soy sauce spicy wings.
And bro, they're telling me this now?
Oh my god, it's so good. So good.
These are the gems you save for the podcast.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Have you gone to Smish Mash?
I have not gone to Smish Mash yet.
Smish Mash is money. Okay. Really, really good. Another good local business to support.
Another local business, In-N-Out.
We'll allow In-N-Out. That's fine.
Shake Shack?
I guess, if you have to. If you really need it. But, you know, get a local burger spot.
I think, I think one thing I'll say is we need to plug all of the Berkeley businesses, because there was an article on Eater, I believe Berkeley side or Eater, about how difficult it is for a lot of Berkeley businesses right now. Like, they talked to the Cheese and Stuff owner, they talked to a bunch of the other owners. I'll actually link it in the bio or the notes for this podcast episode if you guys want to go read it. But if you live in the area, like, go and support like all the places you ate, you know, as a Cal fan on game days, or if you went to college here during your college days, because a lot of them are struggling pretty big time. Apparently. Big time. So, yeah, big time.
Yeah. Even, like, I'm sure Yopo is struggling.
And, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I've been to Shenhua was where I've probably been to Berkeley most recently. I got Trattoria Siciliana before they shut down.
Yeah, that was super sad.
Delicious. Yeah, well, luckily you can still get it, so that's good, but I did hoard a couple of those olive oil bottles, which was amazing. But yeah. So anyways, we can host our own little food podcast, by the way.
Yeah. We're talking about that, remember? We were talking about doing that. So maybe we'll get that on the docket one of these days. But let's continue our conversation on the schedule. Let's talk about Cal's schedule. All right. I'm gonna run you through it. November 7th, Washington comes to play in Berkeley. November 14th, we travel to the godforsaken state of Arizona to play ASU. November 21st, we play at Oregon State. Friday, November 27th is the big game. December 5th is at home to Oregon. December 12th is at Wazoo. And then December 18th or 19th is the TBD game. If we're in the championship game, we'll play on the 18th. If we're not, we'll play a seeded game on the 19th. What are your thoughts on our schedule?
I'm missing one.
What are you missing?
Washington, Arizona State, Oregon State, Oregon, Wazoo. Stanford? When's Stanford?
Big game, November 27th, Friday.
Okay. All right, so let's see. Wrote down win next to all of them. Now I need to go adjust. Okay, so let's call Washington a win, but maybe a loss. So, like, coin flip?
Yeah.
Down 50, with that? 50.
Yeah, let's just say it's a quote-unquote tie.
Coin flip, Washington. I think ASU could be pretty solid. I feel like it's a 60-40 win. That's okay. Where I'm at. I don't know. I think Oregon State's a win, but I've already talked about like the potential of it being a loss. But I feel like 65-35 on that one.
Yeah.
I'm going Oregon win, but that's definitely not the majority of people that are going to say that. So I think that's probably a 45-55 opposite direction, like going in Oregon's favor at least.
All right.
But I'm calling it a win.
All right.
So hold on. So that's a win. So I'm saying, let's say loss to start, win. Why don't we just say that we win the big game and then blow a game against Wazoo? Great. Okay, so Wazoo I definitely think is a win. Stanford, I think, is a win because I'm not convinced that Stanford's going to be good.
So we're 4-2.
I think we're 4-2. That's pretty solid. Could easily be in the championship game.
You basically think we lose to start the season and lose to end the season. We win everything in the middle is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, it sounds like a Wilcox team, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or it's like, you know, the Wilcox move would be like win Washington, win ASU, win Oregon State, and win, maybe lose Oregon, lose Wazoo, lose Stanford. 3-3.
I mean, his Pac-12 record isn't great. Like, it's just a fact, right? His win-loss record is actually pretty good because of he's always carried a minimum of 3 wins because he's won every single out-of-conference game he's played as the head coach here.
Yeah.
So if you take those away, his conference record, I think, is barely at 500 or under 500. I believe it's actually under 500.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. What do you think is the toughest game on the schedule?
Oregon. I don't think there's any game that's close to as tough as Oregon this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Even at home? Even at home with no crowd, no nothing?
Dude, home means nothing.
That's what I mean.
What do you mean?
I what I'm saying is it's like playing at a neutral place, right? It's not you're not traveling, like you're not doing anything, but they're traveling.
We would have ordinarily gotten Oregon at home. Like we would have had them at Berkeley,
right.
Which I think would have been an advantage for us. I don't think there's any advantage. Dude, that's like you could drive that. It's like a 10-hour drive.
It's true.
No problem. You could fly down in an hour and a half. Like, it's nothing. I think that they get to come to Berkeley and play in a beautiful stadium with no fans and probably a gorgeous night. They're just, damn it. It's what a year, you know, to lose the home field. But yeah, I think like Oregon is the team to beat right now. Period. In our conference, I think they've recruited incredibly well. They won the Rose Bowl. Like that's the one.
Yeah.
No, they're resetting at quarterback, but you know, how many times have we asked that Oregon be bad and reset at quarterback and they come up with Jeremiah Masoli or
Vernon Adams
randomly, like just We've been asking that for years, and they've been able to do it every time. So until proven otherwise, I think that's a big one. It's pretty interesting with Washington and seeing like what could happen up there, but we seem to have had that program's number. And then I just don't know enough right now with Stanford and what's happening and how they looked last season. If I'm not totally convinced that they are the Stanford of the past.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the one for me. What about you?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I think that the at Washington State game might be the toughest game. And
This is nuts.
Let me explain.
This is nuts.
Let me explain.
What is going on with Washington State? Tell us, Rob.
It's not because of who we're playing. It's because of where we're playing and when. We're playing in the state of Washington, in Pullman, on December 12th. Just imagine. What do you think the likelihood of a snow game is for this game? December 12th in Pullman, Washington. Like, if this turns into a blizzard game or, like, a snow game, holy hell. Like, that might be the toughest game we have to play. Because snow games, we don't have snow games here in the Pac-12 because it's just we don't play that late and it doesn't get that cold, right? We've never played a Pac-12 game in December before, like, this late. December 12th. You know, if this was the regular bowl season schedule, Andy, December 10th is the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow. So we would have been if we're playing in a bowl game, like that's how late in the season it is, right? So that's why that game scares me to a certain degree, because if we have to play in the snow, like, holy crap. I don't think anybody on our team, let alone anyone in the Pac-12, has probably experienced a snow game. We've done monsoons and we've done like rain games, but I don't think snow games has ever been on the docket. And so that could be the first.
That'll be fun.
It'll be super fun.
That's interesting. I think Pullman doesn't seem all that scary if there's no fans. But yeah. I agree. The location, northern Washington, it's interesting. Or it's like east Washington, right?
Yeah. I think east Washington. I don't know my geography of Washington that well.
But that's pretty interesting. And then we'll see about the fires.
Yeah.
You know, hope, like, knock on wood that this hurricane's going to give us a little bit of, like, rain that's going to come from it. But, goodness, you know, big game, like, people, I think we forget, like, big game 2 years ago was postponed because the fires in November. So we're not out of this yet. We got a month and a half left.
Yep.
So,
yeah, definitely. I guess the other flip side of this would be, what do you think is the easiest game on the schedule?
I don't know. I would have said Washington State. But
I just think all things considered, that's the hardest game.
Given that you've brought it up twice, not once, but twice, I don't know, man. Oregon State, I don't know.
I think
ASU's might maybe the second toughest.
I think for me, the easiest game is the big game.
Wow.
At home. You've already won the axe. You've already won the axe last year. I know that. But I'm saying you've already won the axe. You have no pressure of that whole streak on your shoulders anymore, right? I think you play comfortably, and I don't think Stanford's going to be as good as we expect them to be. So all things considered, I think that might be the most, like, easiest game to play through. So here's the thing. For me, with away games and why I think they might be a lot more difficult than what you would think, or even without fans, it's because you have to consider the travel that's going to come with these games. And on top of that, the travel with the pandemic, right? I think you're going to be a lot more on edge. You're going to be there's a lot more like processes and things you have to go through. You can't like be a lot more relaxed, right? Like you're wearing a mask throughout your entire flight or your entire trip throughout until you get to the hotel. Like even when you go to the hotel or wherever, like you're just basically quarantined in your room up until the game. You play the game, even when you're playing at the game, like it's, you know,
not in a normal setting of an away game that you're used to. So I think that's the reason I think away games actually might be harder than a regular away game. That's my thought, even without fans.
I think that's fair. That's a good read. I think a lot of players have mentioned the toughness of that from the NHL and MLB, so it's valid.
Yeah. All right. You have any other thoughts on the Cal schedule?
No. See you November 7th?
Yeah. I mean, we'll have our preview pod up where we go through like our grandiose predictions of the season like we did last year with, you know, me saying that Brett Johnson is going to lead the conference in sacks. You know, things like that. We'll have a pod like that. So,
are we going to bring Josh back?
We got to bring Josh back. We got to bring Trace back. Trace actually got one thing right, which was that Chris Brown Jr. would lead the team in points scored, which he actually did.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll definitely bring some people back. But we got one more piece of news to talk about, and you kind of alluded to it earlier. Cam Bynum has announced today, and we're recording this on Monday night, Cam Bynum has announced that he is returning to Cal to play in the 2020 season. On September 6th, I believe. Let me just double check this. On September 6th, Cam announced on his Twitter and Instagram page that he would be declaring for the NFL draft. He wrote, "I want to be able to play with my team one more year, but the whole pandemic and everything pushed back. My thought is I just bet on myself at this point," Bynum said in a press conference Sunday night. "I think I have enough tape and film to be able to get drafted." He also had like a 6-page like thing that he wrote on Instagram that you can read about thanking everyone for his time here and developing him to the person that he is now. He also said, "I'm declaring now so I can move back home and start training." That's what he said. So I'm assuming when he made this announcement, he was already back home in Southern California. I'm assuming he had moved out of Berkeley. With this announcement, that probably means he's moving back up to Berkeley. And let's, that's pretty much it. He just announced he's back for 2020. And that's it. Like, what do you think? What are your thoughts on Cam's return, Andy?
Man, I'm just so happy. I think that I will be sending all my good vibes his way. No injuries, and just
knock on
really room. Thrilled for him. So excited that he's back. It's huge for us.
Yeah.
Just gives us that much more, you know, it gives us arguably our best player on defense back. So it's massive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So excited for him. And he's just, dude, he's class, man. He's class act. It's crazy. Like, super young, handles everything better than a lot of people. So I'm a huge, huge Cam Bynum fan.
Yep. He is the current active career leader in pass breakups and passes defended. So having him back is huge. If you want to take a look at what Justin Wilcox had to say about Cam Bynum returning, it's on writeforcalifornia.com. That's one of the most recent articles. CalDB Cam Bynum returns for 2020 season. You can go in there and you can see the video from Coach Wilcox talking about his return. That's it. That's all we got. That's
now we begins got, the fun stuff. Real begins news, real pods. No more watching old games.
Yeah. I mean, just to recap some stuff of like Right for California and the Golden Bearcast. Right now, we are currently simming the Cal Football 2020 season if it had happened in normal on NCAA 14. You can catch that on our YouTube page. You can just type in California Golden Bearcast on YouTube and you can find our channel. Give us a subscribe and alert so you know when those videos go live. Also, all of our preview stuff on Ride for California will start to go up fairly soon. We're working on a schedule, so you'll get all of that. We have some other things in the works with like watch-along parties where you can watch the game along with Ride for California writers or people, including myself. I haven't asked Andy yet, but Andy too, if he wants to be on it. You can just have us on your computer next to you while you're watching the game, just so it makes it feel like you're watching the game with a bunch of people. And yeah, we have a bunch of other things that we're trying to do through this virtual
game experience that we're doing. Not the sim stuff, but when we get to actual game time that we can't, you know, be with each other, go to tailgates, be at the stadium, so on. So, yeah. That's what we got cooking.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun time. We got a month. We got a month. Start prepping. Start working on your grill sets. Start working on your tailgate food venues. And we should be back sooner than you think with some Cal football.
Preview pods. Coming your way.
Coming your way. Coming your way. That being said, talking about podcasts, one more shameless plug here. We have two guests scheduled. Trey Beck, the best slot corner in the country, is going to join us on the pod. That'll probably be up sometime next week. We also have The Athletic's Ted Nguyen. I think that's how you say his last name. I'm going to ask him how to say his last name. Who does all of the like play breakdowns and such on The Athletic. He's going to join us to talk about Bill Musgrave's offense. And I have a bunch of questions I wanted to ask him about it. So we have that too. So we have those two things coming up. If you have any questions for them that you want us to ask or talk about with them, tweet it at us or email it to us at goldenbearcast@gmail.com. But other than that, you're good to go. You can find me at Rob11HWANG on Twitter. You can find Andy at
Andy J Beast Mode.
And you can find us on California Golden Bearcast on Twitter, on Twitch, and also on YouTube. And that's it for us, folks. We'll talk to you later. And as always, Go Bear.
Go Bear.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.